So last week, I got to share some really exciting physical news with you of how I had done in this weightlifting competition. And it seems as though our Lord is very good at making sure that I stay humble. So this week, I wanted to share kind of a different story. So Xavier has started doing this thing where they divide the students into what are called houses. There are five houses, each named after a saint. And the students are put into these houses when they enter into Xavier. And so it makes sure that seniors are interacting with freshmen and juniors with sophomores. And it's a place where twice a week they're able to gather to pray together, to have fun together, to really grow in an authentic Christian community. So I'm the chaplain of St. Padre Pio House. And so I've tried every couple of Fridays at house time to get over. And one of those Fridays, they were playing dodgeball. I haven't played dodgeball in years, but I was like, I'm getting in on this. I'm there, I'm in my collar, I'm ready to go. And of course I cut in, wasn't there when the game began. And I had a couple of really good dodges, right? Pulled out some of my good martial arts skills. But then one of the guys on the other side threw what can only be described as like the perfect shot. Hit me right in the side of my face. My glasses went off dramatically. And I stayed on my feet, thankfully. It was just a dodgeball. It didn't hurt a lot. But of course, this gym full of students got silent. Our secretary, her younger brother, is a freshman at Xavier. And so a few days later, she says, Father Aaron, all of the students are talking about how you got hit in the face at dodgeball. I wanted to be known as, hey, the priest who's there at house time, or even, hey, he had some really cool dodges for an old man compared to them. Nope, I'm the guy who got hit in the face with the dodgeball. I'll do what I can to salvage my reputation through the rest of the school year. But even there, at our Lord works. Because we see today in our readings, once again, this fundamental dynamic in the spiritual life. Will we assert our own will, our own way, or will we accept what God gives to us? This is that fundamental kind of key aspect of the spiritual life. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, man of great learning and wisdom, who knew the classical teachings of philosophy, understood what we taught as the cardinal virtues, was asked, well, what are the four virtues? And his response was humility, 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 humility. Because he understood the truth that if we are not at least grounded on trying to give our will over to God, there will always be an imperfection in our temperance, in our justice, in our fortitude, in all of the other virtues. Now, that doesn't mean that we go around being intemperate, unjust, all this other stuff until we think we're humble. No, God purifies us over time as we draw closer to him. But we need to keep in mind always the question, who am I really seeking to gratify by this action or by that action? Is it myself or is it the Lord? And that sounds very simple, but then all of these moments come up where we feel that we have been slighted or that we haven't been taken care of. Or that God will not provide for us. Right? All of these different moments come to us, and while we may not say it in our mind or out loud that we're afraid God won't provide for us, because good Christians would never say or think that, we still operate from that place. And so it's beautiful that these two readings are put together by the church, because what would enable somebody to say, I will take the lower place, is in fact trusting that the foundation of their life is the Lord. And not just the Lord in some generic sense, but as St. Paul describes it to the Ephesians, right, that we will become powerful through the Spirit in our inner self. So think of those places where we feel weak in ourselves. We don't like talking about to others, don't like acknowledging when we look in the mirror. That's the place that the Spirit desires to come and to bring power if we unite ourselves to the Lord. And then that being rooted and grounded in that love, we might come to comprehend breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. And oh, by the way, it surpasses knowledge. And that we're filled with all the fullness of God, who, oh, by the way, is infinite. So Paul is making a claim that is beyond belief. That we are, by accepting what God wants to give us, made to be able not to contain the infinite, that's impossible, but to be embraced by it in such a way that we are united. That all of those longings of our heart that we in our self-will try and satisfy piecemeal and in small ways are in fact gratified beyond anything that we could ask or imagine. So this becomes very practical for us. No longer do we need to think about how must I earn God's love by my obedience to a certain checklist. Hence Jesus calling out the inconsistency of being judged for curing someone on the Sabbath, but Pharisees and those with them being allowed on the Sabbath to pull their son or an ox out of a cistern. God's desire is for us to be raised up. And so we are to humble ourselves. So as we hear that phrase, humble yourself, what do we think of? What is the thing that we're actually afraid God is going to say, humble yourself even there? Yes, I am asking for that thing. I do want to be part of that relationship. Humble yourself. Generally, that's where we stop hearing things and we allow that fear to overtake us. But then that's where we do need to hear that the one who humbles themselves will be exalted. And so where the evil one lies saying, see, God only wants you kept down. God only wants you to grovel, to be weak. He wants others to walk all over you. He's not going to take care of you. This is where we can practice renouncing that lie, but also then claiming the truth with St. Paul, that what God desires to give is, in fact, true power in my inner self, something that no one can threaten or take away. And indeed, those places where I fear that by giving things up, letting go of the attention others might pay to me, I won't find myself unlovable, but loved beyond anything that I could ever come to understand. That this little canteen of attention that I'm trying to hold on to and keep full is replaced with an ocean that consumes, draws me in, and keeps me. So as we draw close to Jesus, will we allow him on this Sabbath to heal us, to raise us up, because that is his desire? Will we let him address where we've been afraid to humble ourselves so that we can receive, be filled with more than we could ask or imagine from him?